হরি জয় গোপী জন বল্লভা গিরিবর ধারি বল্লভা গিরিবর ধারি যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা তীরাবন চারি তীরাবন চারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় গোপী জন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারি গোপী জন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারি যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা তীরাবন চারি তীরাবন চারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি ধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় গোপী জন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারি ই জন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারি যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা তীরাবন চারি তীরাবন চারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি 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 এম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস প্রেরাজগাচার্য সুদ্রত ইস ডিভাইন গ্রেসেস ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী শ্রী প্রভুপাদ কি জয় জয় ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস প্রেরাজগাচার্য সুদ্রত ডিভাইন গ্রেসেস ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্ত সরস্বতী গোস্বামী মহারাজ শ্রী প্রভুপাদ কি জয় অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ কি জয় শ্রী প্রভুপাদ কি জয় অল গ্লোরিস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরিস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরিস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরিস অল গ্লোরিস অল গ্লোরিস শ্রী গুরু এন্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6, Text Number 64 and 65. Devarata Suta Sopi सर्वित्वा यजुषाम् गुणाम् ततो चतो ततो यतो मुनयो तद्रुषुस्तान यजुर्गुणान् यजुषम् यजुंसि तितिरा भूत्वा तल्लोलोपतया दद तैत्रीया इति यजुः शाखा आसन सुपेशलः देवरात सुतसोऽपि छर्दृत्वा यजुषाम् गुणम् ततो गतोत्मुनयो ददृशुस्तान यजुर्गुणान् देवरात सुतसोऽपि छर्दृत्वा यजुषाम् गुणम् ततो गतोत्मुनयो तद्रुसुस्तान यजुर्गुणान् देवरात सुतसोऽपि छर्दित्वा यजुषाम् गुणम् ततो गतथ मुनयो तद्रुसुस्तान यजुर्गुणान् देवरात सुतसोऽपि छद्रित्वा यजुषाम् गुणम् ततो गतत् मुनयो तद्रुस्तान् यजुर्गुणान् देवरात सुतसोऽपि छद्रित्वा यजुषाम् गुणम् ततो गतत् मुनयो तद्रुशुस्तान्य जुर्गुणान् वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन देवरात सुत द सन ऑफ देवरात यज्ञवल्क्य सह ही अपि इंडीड चारदित्वा वॉमिटिंग यजुसम ऑफ द यजुर्वेद गणम द कलेक्टेड मंत्रास्तत फ्रॉम देयर गतः हैविंग गॉन अथः देन मुनय द सेजेस ददृशु सौ तन दोस यजुगुणन यजुर्मंत्रस यजुमसि दिस These yajurs, titriya, partridge, bhutva, becoming, tat, for those mantras, lolupatya, with greedy desires, adadu, pick them up, taitraya, known as taitraya, iti, thus, Yajushakha, branches of the Yajurveda, Asan, come into being, Supeshala, most beautiful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace and His dear disciples. Yajnavalkya, the son of Devarata, then vomited the mantras of the Yajurveda and went away from there. The assembled disciples, looking greedily upon these Yajur hymns, assumed the form of partridges and picked them all up. These divisions of the Yajur Veda therefore became known as the most beautiful Taitreya Samhita, the hymns collected by partridges, Titriya. Purport by dear disciples of Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Siddhar Swami, It is improper for a brahmana to collect what has been vomited. And so the powerful brahmana, disciples of Vaisampayana, assumed the form of Taittiriya partridges and collected the valuable mantras. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Savadetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sham He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Tyananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Ashtaya 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 First of all, I would like to thank the temple committee for giving me this opportunity to read Srimad Bhagavatam and share my thoughts on this. So, thank you so much. And before I can even make an attempt to describe or discuss about these verses, I would like to take the blessings of my senior god brothers sitting here just for my inspiration. So, sincerely, seek your blessing so that whatever I can speak is of use to everyone assembled here and can be applied to our life. That's the purpose. So, reading the translation one more time. Yajnavalkya, the son of Devarata, then vomited the mantras of the Yajurveda and went away from there. The assembled disciples, looking greedily upon these Yajur hymns, assumed the form of partridges and picked them all up. These divisions of the Yajur Veda therefore became known as the most beautiful Taittiriya Samhita, the hymns collected by the partridges. So we have heard Prem Kishore Prabhu very beautifully explaining the how Vedas came about and how the different divisions has happened and why those divisions has to happen because of the Kali Yuga, that in the people of Kali Yuga will not be having that capable brain to understand the Vedas as is it. So it has to be divided into the various samhitas and different shape and form. So that was very beautifully explained by Prem Kishore Prabhu, and after that Satyanand Prabhu very nicely explained about what happened just before this verse, that why Yajnavalkya vomited these mantras. And I was just wondering that in that translation was given that all these disciples were doing trying to do a tapasya to eradicate the curse that his guru has acquired because of killing a brahmana, and there was no description given, and I was very confident that whichever the speaker, I'm sure he will satisfy the curiosity that I have, because I was trying to find out actually who he killed and why he killed specifically a person like Vaisampayana, right? So And he very beautifully explained that. Now, continuing on that, and also we see this, we are actually on the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam with the 12th canto. And also we see that the chapter also entitled that passing away of Maharaj Parikshit. So I'm not a great reader or things like that, but I can call myself a appreciator of the things basically. So I definitely appreciate the how Srimad Bhagavatam has come about and how this fantastic journey of all the 12th canto and how we see that Parikshit Maharaj, once he was cursed and how he decided to spend his notice period as given, right? Coming from a corporate background, so we have this notice period. So he had a notice period of 7 days, not to leave the company, but to leave this body. So in those 7 days, what he is supposed to do? So it's such an amazing that how the whole scene was set, that he was at the bank of Ganges and trying to find out what he's supposed to do for those 7 days. And here comes Sukhdev Goswami and the entire Bhagavatam takes place. So it is such an inspiring thing, and we feel actually pity on so-called materialistic and the scientists, and they just talk about this Big Bang and everything happens by chance, and there is no chance here. It is the will of the Supreme Lord that this is happening, where Parikshit Maharaj is being cursed and Sukhdev Goswami is arriving at the same time. Can that be a chance? No way. It cannot be a chance. Right? So this is a beautiful thing. But let's just get into a little deeper into the today's verse. So I was just wondering, what is this, all these Vedas, we hear Yajur Veda, Sam Veda, Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, and it goes beyond my head. It's like a bouncer. You can't even touch that. So I was just trying to Google it and find out what is actually Yajur Veda is meant for. Because I know that everything has a purpose behind it, right? So what is the purpose of this Yajur Veda? So the Yajur Veda is basically, the purpose of it is to give a direction in terms of how to perform yajnas and different vratas. So basically all the karmakanda yajna, the description of how to do it and what are the mantras to be uttered during these yajnas is actually given in this Yajur Veda. And also the different vratas or the anusthan that you are supposed to do, that is also given in this. So that was really good to know for a person like me. And then we heard from Prem Kishore Prabhu that there are 101 shakhas of this Yajur Veda. And interestingly, we see that out of 101, 86 shakhas are from Krishna Yajur Veda. There are actually two sections or the two different versions of the Yajur Veda, which is, one is Krishna Yajur Veda and the second is Shukla Yajur Veda. So how these two different sects also, or the parampara, came into being. So the first one that we are already reading today, this 86 shakhas has come from this Taittiriya Samhita that is actually coming in parampara of Vaisampayana. So what about the remaining 15? So those remaining 15 is actually coming from this verse also, because, or the previous verse, where Vaisampayana asked Yajnavalkya that you leave and give away everything whatever you have heard. So I don't want to steal away the thunder of the future verses, but basically those remaining 15 shakhas that has actually come from the lineage or the disciplic succession of Yajnavalkya. That is how those remaining 15 has come. So that makes it 101 shakhas of Yajur Veda. So when I was preparing the class and I read the translation, and I was just wondering that Yajur Veda, I don't think so I can speak more than this, what I have spoke just now, maybe 5 minutes. And is that all? And I can just say that Hare Krishna Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Right? But then I was reading the translation, and as we all have heard, that in the translation it is said that like you know the Yajnavalkya vomited, and being Brahmana you cannot collect the vomit, right? So they have assumed the form of a partridges. And I said, wow, this is amazing. Like, you know, some of the things are not some, I think all of the things that you read in Srimad Bhagavatam is like a blockbuster movie. You know, if you imagine the scene, it's just unbelievable. First of all, we can't even imagine that what would be that vomit in terms of the Yajurveda mantras. Like, you know, it's beyond anybody's imagination. And that too, at the similar time, like, you know, in a spur of a moment, like, you know, the Brahmanas are so intelligent that, okay, this is something important, even though it is a vomit, but it is something very important to be grasped. So what did they do? They immediately transformed themselves into partridges in the Taitreya and grasped all that was vomited out. So you see this, like, you know, it's such a fascinating thing. And reminded me that, like, you know, how this Brahmanas took this form of a Taitreya is nothing but just coming from the Lord himself. The same thing. How when the Mother Earth was, like, you know, completely pushed down to the Rasatala, what did the Lord do? Lord did not just go into the original form and picked up the Mother Earth from that, the lower planetary or the lower parts of the universe. What did the Lord do? The Lord actually assumed the form of a boar. Similarly, what we see here, that you cannot, it is not appropriate for you to pick something up from, like, you know, Rasatala, so you have to assume the form which is very appropriate for that. And that's why the Lord assumed the form of a boar. So that is what we see here, that who are the dear devotees of the Lord, they are also empowered to do similar in a very miniature form. So that was really a fascinating thing for me. And also another thing that I reflected is I cannot read much. I don't know for what reason, but I'm not a reader. But I can very much relate to this Brahmanas, that what I can do is I can hear from all these great Vaishnavas who are assembled here, who has given a very fantastic classes. And thanks to our His Grace Vaishnava Seva Prabhu for assembling everything onto the ISKCON desire tree. So for a unqualified person like me, by the unimaginable mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, being asked to give Bhagavatam class, which is beyond my imagination, because I'm absolutely unqualified to sit here and talk to the, like, you know, great Vaishnavas like you. But the only way, whatever I can speak is nothing but whatever I've heard from all of you on ISKCON desire tree. And I'm just trying to, like, you know, put my thoughts together and share with all of you again. So that way I can say that, okay, from this particular verse is very much, I can connect that whatever is out there I have collected and I'm just trying to distribute. So the one of the word here described is all these Brahmanas or the disciples of Vaisampayana, very greedily, they collected all these mantras. So I thought, I'm not innovative or a creative like people here or the devotees here, where, like, you know, can figure out something. So I thought, let me just take that one word, greed, and elaborate on that, like, you know, what are the different effects of greed, because I can very much connect to that greed, because I am a very greedy person on the material sense, not on the spiritual sense. So I thought, let me just do some research what this greed is all about, right? So actually, whether we believe it or not, there is actually a TED talk on greed. And I was going through that, and the person who was giving a talk has done a lot of research. And there are actually a big universities like Harvard and Oxford and others, they are actually doing a research on this topic of greed. But they fail to understand that there is so much of a vast material given in our Shastras, be it Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. But they try to, like, you know, speculate, as Srila Prabhupada says, like, you know, everything is given, but they just try to, like, you know, ascending process rather than a descending process. Right, so they just try to speculate, and for that they have a laboratory. Earlier I have heard a word laboratory is being used in physics, chemistry, and that kind of a thing. And the first time I'm hearing that there is a laboratory for greed. So what is that laboratory is all about? So in that laboratory, they actually brought some of the people, maybe a group of 15, 20 people. They asked them to enter that particular laboratory. And in that laboratory, the instrument is Monopoly, the game of Monopoly. And that game is been rigged by the person who has set up this whole experiment. So one set of people, they have been given a particular dice where whenever they throw, actually more numbers will come compared to the other set of people where whatever they throw, the less will come. It's like a Yudhishthir Maharaj versus Shakuni. You know, and also, initially, as most of us know, the game of Monopoly, right? It's all the wealth and everything is being equally distributed. But here in this case, for the some people, they have given much more than to the other. So they have made a fix that, this set of people are going to win and they're going to have a lot of money. And this set of other set of people, they're going to lose and they will not have much money. And they wanted to see the behavior of the people who are winning and acquiring more and more. Right? The basic, the symptom of a greed is you want to acquire more and more, right? So they wanted to see that how these people who are becoming greedy, what is that behavior? Right? So these people did not know, but the person who has set the game, they knew and they were observing with the CCTV camera. So now when the game started, let's call it a set A who are the winning and set B is who are going to lose. So the people from set A are started having more money and as that thing was happening, the way they were moving their pawn also very, very confidently and there is a sound coming, tuck, 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 how they move their, the cookie or whatever you want to call it, right? And and also at the same time they have put some snacks and kuch khane ka rakha tha wahan pe. So the people who are winning, they were eating more and they were becoming more rude and more arrogant and the more show off kind of thing were happening. So they concluded the people who are greedy, they tend to show off more, they tend to be more rude, they tend to be throw their weight around and things like that, as compared to the people who are moderate and who do not have so much. Also, another experiment that they did is probably you have to visualize this, you have to be either in US or maybe you have to see some videos of US. Because in US or other countries, they have something called the right of way for pedestrian. So if it is zebra crossing, the person can just walk by and doesn't have to worry about which car is coming from which direction, as opposed to what we have in India. So what they have actually done this experiment in somewhere in California. So it is observed that the people were driving the less expensive car, they were stopping for the pedestrians. Whereas the people were having the more expensive cars, they were actually breaking that law and did not give the right of way to the pedestrian. So that also again shows the people who are having more and things like that, they are always breaking the laws or committing more criminal kind of activities. Not criminal, but not following the rules and regulations basically. And the third thing also, very interestingly, they have done the study on this greed is from the charity perspective, the dana. So they have observed that the people who are having less, if they compare the percentage of their total income, how much they actually donate. So that turned out to be the people who are having less, they were donating more percentage from the percentage perspective, not the numbers, the percentage. Were more than compared to the richer people. The people who are rich, they were giving less percentage of their total income in charity. So that also shows that the people who are greedy having a less inclination to help others and less compassion compared to these people. Right? So I also looked up the definition. It was very simple, the definition of greed in the dictionary. So the basic definition of a greed is desire for more money power, property than what is actually needed. And there is also a very beautiful quote, right? There is enough for everyone's need in this world, but there is not enough even for one man's greed. Can you imagine? There is not enough for one man's greed. And I can share one story, and that is very much I can relate to. So that's why I'm sharing that story. I'm sure you have heard it. And I have also heard from Shyamananda Prabhu. So I would like to just share that because I can relate very much. So there was one merchant, food merchant, and he was living in that kingdom, and he happened to sell very low quality food and charging more and things like that. So somehow he was caught by the king and he was punished. So now, being a merchant, always very greedy, and then the punishment was given as you have to give 10,000 gold coins for your substandard food distribution and charging more. So of course, being a baniya, he definitely negotiated, "My dear king, please, this is too much. Suggest if I can opt for any other punishment." So then king was benevolent. He said, "Okay, if you don't want to pay 10,000 gold coins, then aapko 100 kode khane padenge. You will get 100 whips on your back." Said, "Bhai, I am a merchant community. I am not a kshatriya. I cannot take this. Kuch aur hai to bataiye." So then he said, "Okay, last option. Iske baad abhi kuch nahi milega. Last option." "Okay, kya hai?" "The last option is you have to drink 10 kg ghee or 10 liter ghee." Sure enough, it absolutely resonated with him, right? Something coming for free. Why not? Baniya, huh? So he said, "Yes, I'll go for it." So he started drinking 1 kg, 2nd kg, and when it came to 2.5 and almost getting to the 3rd kg, he was done. He was having a loose motion and he was completely gone. Said, "I'm sorry, I cannot take this." "Okay, then what is next? What will you take?" Because he cannot give, being a baniya, 10,000 gold coins. "I'll take 100 koda on my back. You go and weep me on my back to your heart's content, but not more than 100. Said, "Okay." So they started beating him. But being a baniya, again, his body could not take it. Almost went up to 95. And after that, he gave up. He said, "Enough. I can't. I will give you 10,000 gold coin. You take it and leave me now. It's enough." So what happens? It's the same thing. I can relate. Because, we are trying to negotiate with a lot of things. And ultimately, you end up paying more. That is what generally happens with a person like me. So I can very much connect to that. And also we see the nature of greed is a very risk taking thing, right? When a greedy person, if you see, it's very risk taking. And what actually came to my mind is nowadays we see that earlier I would say that there was a understanding that agar dhan chala gaya na, agar wealth is lost, nothing is lost. If your health is lost, then something is lost. But if your character is lost, then everything is lost. That was, I believe, probably from the generation of my father or forefathers or my grandfathers. But nowadays, it's actually completely opposite. If character is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, still okay. Something is lost. But if your wealth is lost, oh my God, everything is lost. People actually commit suicide when they lose wealth. It is actually said, jaan hai to jahan hai. People have actually come up from zero to so much. But nowadays it has become so much that they cannot afford to lose wealth. And they have so much desire to acquire more and more. And in that, they take so much of risk. Right? We hear in newspaper that doctors have stolen kidneys. It's just unbelievable. The doctor is such a noble profession. I don't know nowadays today, but at least when in my childhood, I can remember that the doctor was actually considering as a god, next to God. It's they have so much respect for, like, you know, doctor saab aa gaye, you know. And now today, like, you know, thanks to the insurance company and thanks to greed, like, you know, the people have actually, like, you know, you see all this WhatsApp, the, like, you know, you see this hospital, like, you know, nowadays of this corona thing, like, you know, they actually squeeze, like, you know, they literally, jaise kapda kaise nichodte hai, waise, like, you know, they show these pictures of, like, you know, the patient is being completely nichoda jata hai, like that they are showing this profession, which are actually a very noble profession. But because of this greed, their risk-taking ability is so high that they don't care. At the cost of their own reputation and at the cost of someone else's life and the health, they want to steal that kidney. Can you imagine, for some money? And also we have heard, I think Gaurang Prabhu shared this, like, you know, some places, of course, in West, where the nurses were, like, you know, they were in this palliative care or something of that kind of hospital where, like, you know, people who are almost about to die, they have been all admitted. And the nurses were betting that, okay, I bet that this person is going to die tomorrow. And the other says, no, I think he or she will live for another 2 weeks kind of thing, or 2-3 days more and things like that. And they actually bet that $1,000, $2,000, whatever. And just to win that money, the nurse goes and pulls the oxygen from that patient. Can you imagine? Just to win that. So you can imagine the risk that they are taking. It's absolutely unbelievable. So, like, you know, you all may be wondering that, like, you know, why you are talking so much. We all know, Prabhuji, the greed is like this. What is the big deal about it? But the thing is, it's honestly, I'm just speaking for myself. And why I'm speaking this is because Narad Muni has said that. Because I want to get rid of this greed. And it is said that if you want to get rid of the greed, then you have to hear the ill effects of the greed. If you don't hear the ill effects of greed, you will not be able to eradicate your greed. Right? That is the whole thing. And then we see some of the symptoms of greed. What are the symptoms of the greed? Is a person becomes too attached, the person who is greedy. Huh? Always wanting more and more and more. Huh? And never satisfied, never satiated. Otherwise, that person cannot be greedy. Agar greedy person comes and tells, enough ho gaya. That means, samajhna ke kuch to gadbad hai. Right? He is never satisfied. And always, as they say, dil mange more. That is what the greedy person is. So, all these symptoms are greed. And if it is dovetailed towards your material prosperity or the material things, then these are very, very detrimental. But if the same thing can be dovetailed towards spirituality, it will give you exactly the opposite result. And that is what we see in all our acharyas. They were greedy for Krishna. Isn't it? Their risk-taking ability is unparalleled. That reminds me the episode of Madhavendra Puripad. What an amazing risk that he took. When Krishna came to his dream, Gopal, saying that, I am feeling very hot. O Madhavendra Puri, I am feeling very hot. I need something to cool my body. So I need Chandan. Now, anyone can get that dream, right? I'm sure whoever is worshipping the deity, say, Thik hai yaar, Bhagwan aa gaye. Abhi Chandan kahan pada hai Malaya Hills mein? Main kahan hoon? Yahan Vrindavan mein baitha hoon. और वहां जाना कितना दूर है, और वहां से चंदन, मेरे पास पैसा भी नहीं है, कैसे आएगा चंदन, क्या है, नहीं हो सकता है प्रभु. गोपाल जी, मैं पंखा डालता हूं रोज आपको, उससे ज्यादा कुछ नहीं कर सकता. बट सी दी ब्यूटी ऑफ दिस वैष्णवास. माधवेंद्र पुरी पाद नॉट जस्ट लाइक नो इमीडिएटली द वेरी नेक्स्ट डे ही जस्ट एम्बार्क्ड ऑन द जर्नी टू गेट टू दैट चंदन. एंड ही न्यू दैट गेट टू दैट चंदन, दैट मीन्स यू आर actually face to face with the dacoits. Even if you get the chandan, after that, how will you carry that? But that is the risk-taking ability that they have, that because they are greedy for Krishna. And we see that entire episode of Madhavendra Puri Prabhu is so sweet, and how Lord's reciprocate with his devotees is also unparalleled. That is where the Lord himself took the name of Khirchor Gopinath. It's such a beautiful pastime that comes, and how the Lord seeing his devotee carrying such chandan and seeing that, okay, it will be very difficult for my devotee to do that. So he says, you know, I am not different than Gopinath. You can just apply the chandan or give that chandan to Gopinath and I will feel the same cool here. So that is the beauty of the Lord and his devotees. That's such a reciprocation. Whenever I reflect, or maybe I get little disappointed, or maybe I get little discouraged, or maybe more discouraged in my day-to-day practice of Krishna consciousness, like, you know, not able to get that taste for hearing and chanting, not able to do services and things like that, and you wonder that, should I, it's okay if I just lax in my sadhana and this and that. But the very basic thing, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev, that comes to your mind is, are you not able to see that there is more suffering outside? There is so much of these people who may be so-called enjoying. It is as good as that camel who is thriving on this cactus, thinking that, wow, this is such a juicy, but they are not realizing they are drinking their own blood. And after knowing this, do we really want to go back? But that is where the hope is. When we hear about these wonderful devotees, when we hear about these wonderful pastimes of the Lord, it is so encouraging and it is so soothing to the heart that gives us a strength that, yes, get up and do it again. Try. Give it a one more try. That is the beauty of that. And the maximum inspiration that at least I derive is from the example of Srila Prabhupada. He was the greedy person, I would say, on the earth. At the age of 70, his greed was not satiated. He was so greedy to went to America. And what is his risk-taking ability? What is his eagerness to give that Krishna to others? Is unparalleled and unfathomable. It never happened in the history and it will never happen probably in the future as well. At the age of 70, going there an unknown land, absolutely unknown. And as a greedy person, has such an ambition, right? The very first time when this 26 second, when I have been into that place, it is just any shop that you see, go outside, that medical shop that you see, just maybe a twice as big as that shop. And that's it. In that particular place, Srila Prabhupada, that's the only place that Srila Prabhupada had. And that was also probably rented at that point in time. And he is calling out the name of the society as International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And all the disciples or the to-be disciples of Srila Prabhupada were aghast. International Society for Krishna Consciousness in that one remote place of New York City, which nobody knows. But that is our Srila Prabhupada, the risk-taking ability, the eagerness and the having to have more and more for Krishna is just unbelievable. Prabhupada was never satisfied, never ever satisfied with any number of temples. He always wanted to go out more and more and more. And that too also we know and we have heard even from our dear His Grace Srinathji Prabhu many times that when he was in his last pastime, right, that time also he was ready to go to London and preach. And like, you know, they have to literally carry him like a child in that car. And Prabhupada did go to London, right? So that is a sign. Even till the last moment, he is dictating on the dictaphone. Can you imagine the dissatisfaction? That is the greed. That is the greed. And when we hear about such examples, we can actually aspire not to achieve the same thing, but a dust of that particular thing. Or maybe a particle of it. Isn't it? Another thing that we hear about eagerness and that we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita is the beautiful story of Raghunath Das Goswami. How eager he was to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was just running away like a madman from his home. Every now and then. But just because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had instructed him that your time is not yet to be with me. So please go back and continue. But his heart was so eager to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he was still running away. And that was a big concern for his mother. And the mother says, like, you know, what is happening? Why my son is running away? So approached her husband is saying, like, you know, do something about it. Like, you know, it's not good that our son keep running away from our home and going to this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is this? Why don't you do anything? And then he explained that, oh, my dear wife, don't you understand that he has a wife more beautiful than Apsara? He has the opulence as good as Indra. If that cannot bind him, then do you think by tying up with mere physical rope is going to keep him away from his Ishtadev Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So that is that eagerness. And then I'll share the last example of eagerness, and that was really amazing. It really amazed me that how that eagerness can exist in such devotees. It's unparalleled, and that is Loknath Goswami, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas and about to take sannyas, and he told Loknath Goswami that you go to Vrindavan. As soon as I take sannyas, I'll come to Vrindavan. So sure enough, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. But because his own mother, Sachidevi, wanted him to be in Puri so that she can get the news of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every now and then when devotees of Bengal travel to Puri and come back. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri instead of Vrindavan. So the news reached to Loknath Goswami that instead of Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Puri. So immediately Loknath Goswami packed up, I don't know whether he had a bag or not, but he immediately took up his whatever, his kamandalu and everything, and he just ran towards Jagannath Puri. By the time he reaches Jagannath Puri, he hears that Lord has actually gone to South India. And he was so devastated. He said, my Lord has cheated me. He immediately ran from Puri to South India. Now, we all understand that at that time, there were no flights. I didn't know, he was just going to the yatra.com or makemytrip.com and, like, you know, booking flights and immediately going. It's absolutely walking barefoot to one place to another. And when he reaches to South India, he hears that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has gone to Vrindavan. And he, again, like that eager madman, just ran to Vrindavan. And as soon as he reaches Vrindavan, he hears that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for Puri. The very next day, when he was ready to go to Puri, that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to his dream and pacifies Loknath Goswami that, oh my dear devotee, do not worry and do not go around like this. Please be stationed at Vrindavan and I will reveal my pastime personally to you. My sweetness will be revealed to you in Vrindavan itself. You don't have to come to Puri. And that what actually satisfied the most greedy man, Loknath Goswami. So this is what we really need to aspire for. We all know that Titanic was floating. Titanic was not running on the road, right? Titanic was floating on the water. And what caused Titanic to sink is the same water, but in a different form as an iceberg that caused Titanic to sink. Similarly, for us, all the symptoms of the greed is like a water. But when it turns to be the material greed, it's like that iceberg which can drown us in the ocean of nescience. The ocean of this bhavsagara will be drowned if you are acquiring in the material greed. But if that same principles of dissatisfaction, eagerness, wanting for more, ye dil mange more, if those same principles, if we are applying towards spirituality, it will be the same crystal clear water which will help us to float our now and help us to cross this bhavsagara. Otherwise, it's not possible. So let us take the shelter of the same principle. When I got introduced to Krishna consciousness, and I'm so grateful to that dear devotee of Lord, His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhu, it's amazing. Like, you know, some of the things just stays with you, right? If somebody tells something, it just stays forever. You may not remember everything, but one particular thing just stays forever. And he used to tell me and everyone else, whoever used to come to that program, he says, aapko kuch karna nahi hai, kuch chhodna nahi hai. Because everyone has that fear, right? When you come to the spirituality, the biggest fear is, oh, matlab mujhe kuch tyag karna padega. I have to become a tyagi. Isn't it? That is what the biggest fear people have. And he is such an amazing person. He used to comfort people so nicely. Aapko kuch chhodna nahi hai. Very nicely he used to explain everybody. Aapko kuch chhodna nahi hai. Aapko sirf jodna hai. And what you have to jodna hai? You have to sirf Krishna ko aapko jodna hai. Baki kuch chhodna nahi hai. So similarly, all this principle that we talked about, the eagerness, the dissatisfaction, the dil mange more, all these things, you don't have to give up. Aapko isko chhodna nahi hai. You have to dotel, you have to Krishna ke taraf use modna hai, bas. Use chhodna nahi hai. We have to just dotel it toward Krishna and it will do wonders in our life. And that is what we hear in all our Acharya's Vaishnava songs as well, right? They are so elevated souls, but you hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur calling, I have no devotion. I have no devotion. Narottam Das Thakur says, I have no devotion. Like, you know, I have knowingly drunk the poison. This is the quality that never satisfied. Never satisfied. So please don't give up this dissatisfaction. It is not depressing. Don't give up your eagerness. Don't give up for your hankering for more and more. Just dotel towards Krishna. And I beg to all of your lotus feet that please, I'm just speaking. I have not even started on this journey of doteling all this principle towards Krishna. But I am sure that if you are exalted Vaishnavas, if you can pray for me, I'm sure I can start on this journey very soon and lead my life towards Krishna. I'll end my class with one request to all of you, that there is a very dear friend of ours, and of course our God brothers and God sister, Anand Gauranga Prabhu and Amrit Keli Mataji, that daughter is going through a very tough time from the health perspective. And I really request, today is her MRI. If that MRI is comes out in a way that, you know, the whole situation can be eradicated just by the traction, that will be really nice. Otherwise, she had to undergo a spine surgery, which is very, very painful. And also the surgery itself is very complicated. And that is going to happen in Yale Hospital in Connecticut. So my humble request to all of you, she's just only 12 years old. Her name is Krishangi. So I really request all of you to please shower your blessings and shower your prayers on her that she may not have to go through the surgery. So with that, I'll end my presentation here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. I will not dare to say that if there are any questions, but I'm sure you have any comments to share, then please do share if there are any comments. Any comments? No, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.